I'm excited.
Amen.
Excited to be here. So this morning we're going to talk about one of those doctrines of grace. We're going to talk about the doctrine of election. Electing his people. Electing his people into salvation. Electing his own people to serve him the same way that he elected me, a lowly sinner in Hepzibah, South Augusta, lost in his sin every single day into preaching the word of God. My friends still tell me, I don't even know who you are. You have changed, my brother.
Amen.
You have changed.
Yes.
Family members lose family members because they don't understand who you are anymore. You say, you're too caught up in church. You're too caught up in this other vice. Well, it's not a vice. I'm caught up in freedom. The freedom of Christ and him alone. This morning, we're going to be in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. Give everybody a moment to flip to Jeremiah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Jeremiah 18, we will be in verses 1 through 12. I want everybody to keep in mind that we only won't be in this little book of Jeremiah. We're going to be in the book of Romans as well as the book of Ephesians. We're going to preach God's word today and preach it because he deserves to be talked about. He deserves to be spoken. If we could stand for the hearing of the reading of God's word, start in chapter 18, verses 1 through 12. I'm reading out of the Legacy Standard Bible, which is a revision of the New American Standard. God's word says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I'll make you hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he was making something on the wheel. But the vessel he was making of clay was ruined in the hand of the potter. So he turned around and made it into another vessel, according to what was right in the eyes of the potter to make. Then the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as the potter does, declares Yahweh. Behold, the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to uproot, to tear down, to make it perish. But if that nation against which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent concerning calamity I plan to do against it. Or at another moment I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to build up and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight by not listening to my voice, then I will relent concerning the good which I promised to do good to it. So now then, speak to the men of Judah and against the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus Yahweh, behold, I am forming calamity against you and a devising a plan against you. Oh, turn back each of you from your evil ways and do good in your ways and your deeds. But then they say it's hopeless, for we are going to follow our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be in your house tonight. We're thankful to be here today to worship and honor you in all of that we do. Father, allow this word to open up our ears, open up our hearts into something that's more about you and less about us. Father, allow this word to speak clearly into the hearts of sinners to understand your mercy and your grace and that your glory is above all things. Father, allow this word to be a sword inside of a dead heart to me be made brand new. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Church, say it together.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. So here we're talking about Jeremiah. Jeremiah is one of the major prophets, obviously, inside the Bible. His book is fairly large to be in the Old Testament. But we read in verse 1 of chapter 18, the word which came to Jeremiah from Yahweh. When we talk about the word, we obviously know the word was sent from God. It was a prophecy sent from God for him to understand, for him to see clearly this is a demonstration for him alone to be glorified in the end. And we understand that in God's word. But Yahweh is clear when he is speaking. That God was completely clear with his demands and his commands. He says that in verse 2 when he says, arise, go down to the potter's house. This is instruction. This is clear instruction sent from God. And Jeremiah knew that if I don't listen to the Lord, if I don't listen to God, we understand judgment. He still understood judgment at that time. And he was faithful. He was faithful enough to go to the potter's house. This was a complete instruction. And understand, when he said to go to the potter's house, it was for a reason. It wasn't just for him to show up. It was a reason for him to go. It was something that the Lord wanted him to see. And the demonstration all came into place to show his glory.
Amen.
It's a complete instruction. He said, and then it says, so I went down to the potter's house, and behold, I was making something on the wheel. He was making something. The potter was sculpting, forming this thing on a potter's wheel. And it gets clear later on in the word, and we're going to see what it says. But the vessel he was making was ruined in the hand of the potter. Understand, it was ruined in the hand of the potter because it was a man. And because it was ruined, it had all of these different malfunctions inside of what he was sculpting. It was imperfect.
Right.
Completely imperfect. We know that when the God puts his hand into it, it's perfect.
Yes.
When the man is sculpting the vessel, when the man does it the way man wants to, it's never going to be right.
Amen.
It's never going to be full. It will always be incomplete.
Amen.
You are always incomplete in your sin, but through him you are complete, and the vessel is made. It's made new. And we see that here. So when it was ruined in the hand of the potter, he turned and made another vessel according to what was right in the eyes for the potter to make. And the only way it was right is because God instructed it to be perfect. To be right. To be put together. To be complete. I want everybody to flip to Romans 9.
Amen.
Romans 9, verses 20 through 24. And God's word is so complete, and it's so impactful that we can understand truly of this doctrine of election when we read this in Romans 9. This is probably one of the best verses to complete that doctrine, to understand truly what it means.
Amen.
In Romans 9, verses 20 through 24, it says, on the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? Will the thing molded say to the molder, why did you make me like this? Or does the potter have authority over clay to make the same lump, one vessel for an honorable use and the other for a dishonorable use? And what if God, wanting to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, and endured with much more patience vessels of wrath, having been prepared for destruction, and in order he might make known his riches, the riches of his glory, upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory. Even us, whom he also called, not from among Jews only, but also among Gentiles, he molded his vessel for use, for his glory. And understand this too, if he made the vessel for destruction, the vessel of destruction is still glorifying a holy God.
That's right.
A holy God that is sovereign over all things, that can give his vessels glory to do what is good for him.
That's right.
You might say, well, that's mean. That means God is hateful.
Yeah.
No, it means God is just.
Right.
That God has authority to do how he feels pleased to glorify him in his kingdom.
Right.
When he sends you to hell because you don't repent and turn away from your sins and you continue living in that life of sin, living in something that is completely unworthy of God, he has every right to send you to hell.
Right.
He has every right for you to live with him in glory. To live with him in the glory of heaven. Either destination is meant to glorify him and his sovereignty. His sovereignty is important. His sovereignty means he is in control. He is in control of all things. And it's all meant for his glory. One vessel made for paradise. The other vessel made for destruction.
Right.
That's what God's word says. And who are we to argue against God's word when we said election is mean? When it says, how can you send my son and my daughter to hell and send me to heaven? Because God is worthy. God is worthy of his plans. God is worthy because he's God. From the beginning of time, he created man on earth. He created the birds that fly in the sky. He created the grass you walk on outside the sanctuary. And if you're saying that he shouldn't send you to hell because you live in your sin, a God of sovereignty, a God of ultimate control of this world, then we're against God. We're against his plan. We're against who he is, on his authority.
Amen.
Either way, it's his glory. And it's for his people that he gives paradise to. So we go back to the book of Jeremiah here. We see the vessel he's making of ruined in the hand of the potter. So he turned around and made another vessel, which is God is preparing to do to make the vessel right in the eyes of the potter to make. It's also a doctrine of repentance. It's turning away from those sins.
Right.
It's completely turning away into doing and being lost in your sin day by day, losing faith because you never had faith to begin with, and you continue to live in a life of this destruction. I'm here to tell you, saints, it's important that we must repent. Every single day we must pray to the Lord. Turn away from those vices that wrap us up in bondage, that completely tears us apart. See, when we go on judgment day, the Lord's going to say, why have you forsaken me? Because you lived in this life of sin. You lived in this life of bondage. You never realized who I was. You never realized that I deserve the glory. So you may say that, well, God is love. He is. He is a God of love. He's also a God of judgment. He's a God of just because he's God.
Right.
But you're not God.
Right.
He is the sovereign God that deserves everything, all the praises of your day, all the glory that you can give him, and you know what? It's never enough. We should always be praising him. We should be worshiping him all the time. This morning, I seen this young lady walk into the sanctuary singing, praising him. How glorious of a demonstration. And we sit here. She walks in praising and honoring him. We should always be praising and honoring the Lord. He's undeserving of all. We go back here to Jeremiah verse 5. It says, then the word of Yahweh came to me saying, can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as the potter does, declares Yahweh. Behold, the clay in the potter's hand. So are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Complete control. God had control. And these people were living in the sin, not turning away in repentance. He went to the potter's house to show that man is messing it up. That man is totally tearing apart this whole city, this whole country, and nothing's being done about it. And God is just enough to show Jeremiah that you must repent and to turn away from your sins is the only way.
Right.
Jesus says, have you not repented? Have you not turned away? Mm-hmm. Do you not understand who I am? I'm not just a man, I'm God. We must turn away. We must understand His sovereignty and His power. We must have moral conduct. That's what He's talking about. He's talking about moral conduct. Mm-hmm. He's talking about to follow Him.
Right.
He's talking about to not stay into our sins and to ourselves, to understand the gloriness of who He is. Understand the power and authority of who He is. And He's all worthy. He's not just worthy on a Sunday morning here in West Columbia. He's worthy all the time.
Yes.
And He deserves our praise and our worship.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, I was really excited to come here this morning. Excited to preach God's word in a town that I've never been in. Mm-hmm. Me and my wife were traveling down these small roads, and I said, Providence is coming up soon. I can feel it coming. We're a couple miles away on the GPS. And my wife says, Paul's in the middle of nowhere. Praise the Lord, he is. Because we got some wonderful people here this morning. Man, back to God's word. I'm sorry. I got off track. All right. Verse 7 here says, at one moment I might speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to uproot, to tear down, or to make it perish. Judgment. There we see clearly God's judgment. And He's able to tear it down. He's able to make it perish. Why? Because the people did not understand His glory and they would not repent. Mm-hmm. They would not. They enjoyed living in that sin. The same sin I spoke about earlier. The sin I enjoy living in. The same sin all of you enjoy living in. It was glorious to them. They gave themselves more glory than they gave glory to God. And we know the only person worthy to give glory to God is our God. He's worthy. He's worthy. Every day we should be giving Him honor and praise. Every day. So he's speaking about turning away from its evil. He's in verse 8, I want you guys to read this. But if not the nation which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent concerning the calamity I planned to do against it. They're turning away. Repentance.
Amen.
Repentance from sin.
Amen.
Completely turning away from sin. And it's not something that we pray to God and we just say, tomorrow I won't do it today, but tomorrow I'll be back in my glorious sin. It's completely turning away from your sin and not doing it.
Right.
It's from all those things that bondaged us, whether it is being addicted to alcohol or drugs or pornography and all these other things that we see on TV. Kids, I want you to hear me. When we see these things on television, when we see all these things that don't glorify God, it's not.
Right.
Amen.
It's a blessing to see kids in church. Amen.
Amen.
It's a blessing for them to be here and hear God's word.
Amen.
All the time.
Yes.
We Amen. Must be doing things to glorify God. We must surround ourselves with people that help us to glorify God, because it's important that we do it together. It's important that we make friendships, brothers and sisters, of saints of Christ. We read here in Psalms. You don't have to flip there, but I just want you guys to understand. Psalm 106, 45 says, And he remembered for them his covenant and relented according to the abundance of his loving kindness. Mm-hmm. We have a loving and kindness God.
Right.
We also have a just God. We have a God that's going to understand who we are. And there's nothing that you can do to hide away from the Lord. There's nothing that you can do to hide from God.
Right.
He sees everything. He understands your repentance. He understands if you turn away. He also understands if you're one of His and you completely like to live in that sinful life, then you will have to come up with an answer for that. On Judgment Day, He's going to understand. He already understands where your heart is. He understands who you are. And repentance is important. And it's a gift. And it's a mercy from God that we're able to repent.
Amen. Yes.
It's a complete gift.
Yep.
Amen. Amen.
God gives us mercy and grace when we don't deserve it. Every day He gives us mercy. And we are undeserving of His mercy. We're undeserving of His grace. And that's what makes it so beautiful, this doctrine of election, because it's something that is a gift from God when in man we don't deserve it.
Right.
If we don't read God's word and get emotional about how wonderful it is and how glorious God's word is when it speaks to us, then we are not reading God's word correct. If we don't sit there and whimper at the gospel of Jesus Christ, when a man died for all of our sins because of the wrath of God, then we are not reading the gospel correct.
Amen.
We should be in love with God's word because of how wonderful it is, how miraculous it is. Verse 9 here in Jeremiah. Or at the moment I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to build up or to plant it. It's a blessing from God that He can build up a nation after you turn away from your sins, after you repent and turn away. He was testing the nation to see what they would do. He was testing them to see how faithful they truly were. They were all not turning away from their sin. This message was given to Jeremiah to take back to the people that they must repent, that they must turn away from this and have a gift from God. And God was willing to pour out His mercy and grace on these people when they weren't. We live in a world now that are so far from God. Us saints and Christians, we must live together proclaiming this glorious gospel. Proclaiming who He is every single day. You get caught up in the media. You get caught up with all this other stuff that are not glorifying a just God. You have kids growing up thinking it's okay to change genders. Thinking it's okay to do what they want to do. It is completely wrong.
Amen.
And we must hold true to the gospel and to God's word.
Amen.
To speak the truth of this word to our people, to our families, to our friends, because it's important. And you know why it's important? Because His kingdom rides on it. His kingdom. One day, He's going to come take His people. And that it's important that we spread this word to our nations. We are meant to take this word. Matthew tells us that we're meant to take this word from all the nations to spread it.
Amen.
And we must do so. For no glory on our own, we give God all the glory. Verse 10 of Jeremiah, but if it does not evil in my sight by not listening to my voice, then I will relent concerning the good which I promised to do good at it. Destroy. We know God is good. No matter how God does it, God is good. If they deserve to perish, God is good in God's eyes. And if it's good in God's eyes, who am I, a lonely pastor from Hempstead, Georgia, to speak on it? I am no worthy to speak on God's glorious grace. To speak on His mercy. Because He's a just God. He's a good God. We say it all the time. I hear it all the time. My brother Cameron will just text me out of nowhere and say, God is
good all the time.
Good. And all the time, God is good. We must understand that. We must understand that. That no matter the judgment, no matter what it is, that He is good. And He is deserving. We read here in verse 11 here in Jeremiah. So now then speak to the men of Judah and against all inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says Yahweh, behold, I am forming calamity against you and devising a plan against you. Oh, turn back each of you from his evil way and do good in your ways and your deeds. When we read that, that tells you right there that it's a command sent from Yahweh that you must turn away. That you are not good in your deeds. But you must do good in your deeds because I'm pouring out my mercy and grace upon you. And if you don't, and you continue to live in that sinful life, then I will turn away. You're being taught now in all kinds of churches that God's going to love you no matter what type of lifestyle you live in, no matter who you are, that God's going to love you and forgive you. That is not
true.
Amen. You must turn away from your sins in order to be forgiven from God.
Right.
It all started in the garden when Adam and Eve were there, and Adam was persecuted at the fall of man. He was persecuted, which brought sin into this world. Every single child is born into this world of sin. That's important. We understand that. It's important that we understand the multitudes of sin. To understand that judgment is real. To understand that, Jesus isn't walking around with peace, love, and happiness. That He was real. That He was God. That He came onto this earth to save us from our sins. And He was point blank and period. And He did not hold His tongue. He was who He was. We understand He was God. We understand that. And that we live into this world is hard. As a man, it's hard. Thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. A loving God. A just God. He's judgment. But He's just. How glorious.
Amen.
How truly glorious. So we see here this plan of destruction if you don't turn away from your sins.
Amen.
Read in verse 12. But they will say, it's hopeless, for we are going to follow our own plans, and each of us will act accordingly to the stubbornness of his evil heart. Drowning in sin. Complete drowning in sin. That if you don't turn away from your sins, and once God calls you, we can't save ourselves.
Amen.
Only God can save you.
That's right.
And so when God calls His people, it's not just He calls us and then we go to live our lives the way we want to live. God calls us and then we turn away from those evil, wicked ways that we were before. And we live into righteousness. How glorious of grace and mercy of the Savior. These people were drowning in their sin. They had hearts filled with sin. They did not want to turn away. They enjoyed it. At one point, I enjoyed my sin too. I think all of us have. Thank God. Thank God for God.
Amen.
Thank God for who He is, for His mercy and His grace and His loving nature. We've all been addicted of some type of sort. Addiction, bondage. God pulls you out. God pulls His elect out of that. And God understands who you are. I want everybody to turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. This is a letter written by Paul to the church of Ephesus.
Amen.
Such a glorious letter. Glorious letter, rich in mercy. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be in verse 3. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love, by predestining us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To Himself. According to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He graciously bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our transgressions, according to the riches of His grace, which He caused to abound to us in all wisdom and insight, making known to the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Him for an administration of the fullness of the times. That is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on Him and on earth in Him. In Him we have been made an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. To the end that we who first have hoped in Christ would be to praise of His glory. In Him you have also, after listening to the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance unto the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. The letter starts off with an introduction. He always starts off in his letters with an introduction, saying, "Blessed be the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul's intentional with that, to give Him the glory, take himself out of it. We read, He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world. That means the world wasn't even formed yet, and He chose His elect. Right. He chose His people to praise Him.
Amen.
By predestining us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, that we're adopted Christians because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same Jesus Christ that died on the cross for all of our sins, for the elect. How glorious. We're adopted into that kingdom. That we are truly adopted. And it's all done by the good pleasure of His will. His will. Not our will. His will. Only His. His will be done. Amen. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Same grace. Give Him all the glory. And He pours it on His people. His blood, the forgiveness of our transgressions. His blood on the cross forgave us. It's through the blood. It's through the blood. You can't even imagine the amount of pain that He stood, that He was on that cross and He died for His people. Willingly. And God poured out the wrath. For the elect, and for our transgressions, according to the riches of His grace. His rich grace. How glorious. How glorious. We read down, we also have been made an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him. The purpose of God. It's His purpose.
Amen.
It's not our purpose.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do with us. It's His purpose, His free will. His will to sin and do what He pleases. Path to destruction, glory. We read down, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. And He ends in verse 14. To the praise of His glory. His glory. It's always His glory. We praise Him for that. always His glory. Understand this, saints, that we must repent and turn away from our sins. Every single day we should be in prayer and constant. We should be reading our word and we understand our word. Because it's important. That's what we're supposed to do. We praise Him and give Him all the honor and all the glory. Not because we're supposed to. Not because it's just something to do. But because He deserves it. God deserves our honor and praise every single day of our lives. Every single day we should honor, praise, and worship Him and read and get closer to Him every day. Nothing to do with us. Unworthy. All to do with Him because He is worthy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so honored to be in Your house today that we're able to read Your word, to understand Your word, Father. I want You to pour out Your grace and mercy on who You feel pleased, on who is a part of Your elect from the predestined, from the time before the world was ever created. You knew. You knew who would be living this life of glory and who would be damned. Father, we're so thankful for Your word. We're thankful for these saints that heard Your word today. We're thankful for these ones listening online that heard Your word, to understand how glory You are, how glorious and glorious, Lord. Father, we're thankful for these families. Thankful for the ones that heard Your word. We praise You. Every single day we praise You and honor You. Unworthy me, unworthy us. You are worthy. You're worthy of all of our praise. You're worthy of all the honor. And it's Your Son that we pray to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.